On Faith's Edge, episode 19, singer-songwriter Gary Chapman talks about his new life, new outlook, and the truth, both his new CD and attitude.
This is On Faith's Edge, where engaging, enlightening, and entertaining content brings us closer to living an authentic faith. We'll talk faith and life with people in business and entertainment as we work out the space where God and life collide on Faith's Edge. And now your host, Joe Taylor.
This guy has something to say. Not me. Gary Chapman, that is. Seriously, Gary Chapman has something to say, and I cannot wait for you to hear it. John 3:16, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Welcome to On Faith's Edge. My name is Joe Taylor, recovering atheist, and your servant in Jesus Christ. This is your place to hear conversations with people of faith in business and entertainment from all walks of life and levels of success. They all have one thing in common. They believe in God, and they come here to talk about it. Last episode, for example, business building expert, author, and consultant Jim Palmer joined us. Jim's a great guy, and his faith in Jesus Christ is evident in everything he does. In a two-year period, Jim went from successful corporate executive to losing his job, near financial ruin, and he was diagnosed with cancer. Jim's story of how he gave the reins to God and what God is doing with him right now is nothing short of inspiring. You can hear that episode at onfaithsedge.com/18. That's onfaithsedge.com/18. I had a blast. I just returned from a few days at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee, this past week, and just what a blessing it was. We got to hang out with some really cool and special people. My good friends Benita and David Teams, Lynn McCain, and the rest of that crew. Spent some time with a brother in Christ, John Schlitt. I met some amazing musicians and authors with some great projects going on. Deidre Crawford Greathouse, Sherry Kagi, a sweet, funny, and really amazingly talented autistic young man, Christopher Duffley, my good friends Drake and Serena Travis, Paul Good, Jason Baer, Eva Kroon Pike. Listen, those three names you're going to hear on the Christian chart soon. Comedian Brad Stein, absolutely hilarious. The really funny George W. Bush impersonator, John Morgan. The beautiful and talented singer Alanka, actor David Payne. David Payne does this portrayal of C.S. Lewis that is just phenomenal. If you get a chance to see that in your hometown, really go see David Payne. Actor David Payne portrays C.S. Lewis. It's great. Hung out with Victoria Jackson for a while. Authors Deborah Buckingham and Karen Jensen have some great books. Spent a little time with Son of God producers Mark Burnett and Roma Downey. The people from the new movie Noah were there. Just a great, great time. Many other wonderful people were there. Just had a wonderful, wonderful time. And in fact, in coming episodes, I'll have reviews and news from the convention, along with a couple inside scoops, in fact. If you have questions about faith, the Bible, or you just want to leave comments about the show, I would love to hear from you. You can email me at joe@onfaithsedge.com. Go to onfaithsedge.com/comments, or you can call me at the ever-present listener line, 888-851-8475. Again, that number is 888-851-8475. And right now, singer-songwriter Gary Chapman. For well over three decades, Gary Chapman has seamlessly blurred the lines of contemporary pop, country, Christian, and Southern gospel music. Racking up one of the most impressive resumes in music, Gary is a multiple Grammy nominee, multiple Dove Award winner, including Male Vocalist of the Year and Songwriter of the Year, and his new CD, The Truth, is Gary Chapman personified. Hello, Gary. Welcome to On Faith's Edge.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm really honored to have you on the show today, brother. Thanks for coming out and talking with us. What's Gary Chapman been up to?
You know, life, as usual. It comes at you fast and furious, and you respond day by day. Currently, for me, it's, I've got a great relationship with my wife, and I have a 7-month-old baby daughter that we adopted, and I have a new project out and a couple of television things that I'm in the middle of. My friends and my family take up the majority of my time, honestly.
So you've just adopted what, a baby girl?
Yeah.
Very.
She's sneaking up on 7 months.
Wow. More energy than me, brother. Starting a family all brand new again, aren't you?
You know, I was going to go out with my hair on fire anyway, and now I don't have any choices. So it's cool.
That's right. Well, let's talk about this album, man, The Truth. Gary, it's been 10 years since you last released a studio album, and wow. Brother, you weren't messing around here. 16 brand new songs featuring Tanya Tucker, Alison Krauss, and John Rich from Big and Rich. Gary, what took you so long?
You know, I spent a decade. At the beginning of that decade, I really felt like I needed to be available for my kids, my first three kids. We had just come through a difficult time, to say the least, and I just wanted to be available. And then as they began to fly the coop, my dad, who lived with my wife and I here, he got diagnosed with Parkinson's and then toward the end with cancer. And I just, I couldn't imagine not taking care of him. So that was a pretty intense time up until Easter Sunday morning, 4 years ago, 5 years this year, he died here in our home. And so that was the majority of the time. And, I've been doing a lot of stuff. I mean, I do a lot of documentary work and I don't know how to stop writing songs, but honestly, I didn't feel like, the Christian market, the Christian audience necessarily wanted to hear from me, quite frankly. I didn't feel welcome, honestly.
Wow, that's interesting.
And,
why do you say that?
Not that I do now. I think I just decided I didn't care if I felt welcome or not.
You're just coming in. You're just coming back into it anyway, whether they want you or not.
Move over. I need a spot.
Why did you feel that way, man? I mean, why would you feel that the Christian market wouldn't want to hear your voice
maybe
again?
It's different now. Maybe it's different now. I guess I'll find out. But back then, we tended to kill the wounded, and there was an awful lot of horrible things said about me.
Yeah.
About people who didn't know me at all and had never spent any time with me. But, once those things get imprinted, especially inside the industry, the door closes. And it's a small world. It's a very, very tiny world. And once the door closes, it's closed. So I didn't feel like that was a place that I had any business being, honestly. I don't feel that way now at all.
Wow.
But I did at the time.
Well, for making a comeback, you sure are doing this right. Like I said, this album features Tanya Tucker, Alison Krauss, John Rich from Big and Rich. Personally, man, I really loved If God Had a Front Porch, Ain't Got a Prayer, and The Rough Crowd with Tanya Tucker. This record just makes you feel good, brother. What do you want us to know about this project? What do you want your fans to know about this project?
Well, a few things. Number one, it's got 16 songs on there because these days you have to kind of over deliver.
Sure.
Most people don't buy their music anymore. They steal it. And I know they think it's okay because it's on the internet. It's not okay.
It's not okay.
And, you know, to make it at least tantalizing, I felt like I needed to over-deliver with the amount of material on the project. That, the fact that, you know, it's just hard for me to discard things that I love. And I loved all those songs, so I just decided to cut them all. There probably could have been another 30 if I had not closed the door and said, no, that's it. These will do. That's it. And I just have a lot of friends that write great songs, and I love to write with them, and I love to write by myself. And I'd had a decade, you know, so the finding enough material was not a problem at all.
For those that haven't heard the album yet, what would you say the message of this album is?
You know, that's why we called it The Truth. That phrase, those two words, I started noticing that they reoccurred throughout the lyrics a few times in the project. And the more I thought about it, one of my co-producers, Bobby Hamilton, said, you know, why don't we just call it The Truth? That's all you're doing. You're just trying to tell people the very, very unabashed, simple truth. And that is what it is. This thing is about the gospel. It is about forgiveness. It's about mercy. It's about Jesus loving you more than you deserve. And if you're not an idiot, you should accept it. That's pretty much the size of it.
Hey, listen, save that passion for the very last question of the interview, brother, because that will dovetail perfectly. I love the idiot comment. The truth, this album has been called the most transparent window into Chapman's heart and soul. What do they mean by this?
I don't know. Maybe I was cloudy before. I have no idea. No, I have always tried my best to be honest and to really not hold things back. And it's gotten me in a tremendous amount of trouble over the course of my life, but I really don't have any regrets in that regard. I just think that it's important to keep your heart as clear as you know how. And granted, I've had my glaring mistakes in that area, and they're all well documented and well publicized. But at this point in my life, I don't see any upside in being anything but totally honest. You know, going through the process with my dad and walking him literally to heaven's gate, it changed my life. And my life was already in God's hands. But, you know, I don't have any questions about eternity. None. My dad had a couple of weeks toward the end of his life that he was there and he was here. He went back and forth, and it is, I mean, we don't have time here to go into the detail, but it is completely undeniable in my mind that heaven is very much real, that this is such a passing, fleeting process, and that I look back on my life, and despite the fact that I accepted Christ at age 7 and that I have tried my best, despite my own ignorance, to walk with him, I have failed just desperately many, many times, because if you just look at the clock and you go, okay, there's 24 hours in that sucker, and there's 60 minutes in each one of those, and there's 60 seconds in each one of those, how many of those seconds did I really try to be God's man? How many of those? And it was not a good calculation. It was not what I wanted to walk up to God and face him with. And I just wanted to be different. I wanted to be different from this point forward. And that's the only thing that actually matters to me. I mean, just here I am talking to you. We just met. You seem like a great guy. I've listened to a couple of shows. I appreciate the work you're doing. But, brother, it really doesn't matter if your audience loves me or hates me. And I don't say that with any arrogance. I don't. I promise you. The only thing that matters is if I'm able to impress upon them the value of Jesus.
Well, that's what this is all about, brother.
Of that relationship. That's it. Because everything else, you know, yeah, I try to make good music. I think that's my gifting. I'm trying to walk it out the best I can. But if at the end of all of it, you don't know without question that the reason I was in your life was to try to pry open your heart to the truth of who Jesus is. If I don't do that, I've screwed up.
Amen, brother. This album, The Truth, is a tremendous, tremendous record, man.
Well, there's a few songs on there that really stand out in my mind. There's a song called Put It In His Hands. It'll probably never be like a radio single or anything, but it came from a moment that I had putting my dad to bed one night. He lost use of his legs the last couple of years of his life. Well, the first 2 years of my life, he changed my diaper and put me to bed. And the last 2 years of his, I returned the favor. So
wow.
I'm putting him to bed one night and getting them all tucked in. And the whole time I was doing it, I was just whining, you know, just going off about something. I don't even remember what it was, just something that was bugging me. Some problem that I had, because let's face it, that's usually what we allow to take the forefront of our minds is, you know, our needs, our struggles, our issues, our desires. And I was doing that. And I kissed him on the forehead and I went to turn out the light. And he, just this weak, Parkinson's ridden voice out of the darkness, says, "Son, you just got to put that in God's hands." And he had told me that countless times throughout my life, but it just destroyed me to hear this just ravaged, health-wise, weak, weak, weak man, you know, who was 200-plus pounds. It was probably down to 90 or so at that point. And just to hear him actually command the room with his voice and to say what he said, it just destroyed me. And I came upstairs and wrote the first verse and chorus to that song. And I played it for a buddy of mine down on Music Row the next day, and he helped me finish it up. And what used to be my youngest daughter, my 21-year-old daughter, Sarah, sang with me on that. And just the three-generational input into that song just kills me. I almost can't listen to it.
Wow. You know, it's amazing to hear you tell that story about your dad, Gary. Here you were taking care of your father, as you said, you know, putting him to bed, changing his clothes, and still he was ministering to you.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was amazing. He was a pastor his whole life. He was a drunk farmer early in life, and at 18 he accepted Christ and became a preacher, and that's all he ever did. And he was really smart, and he only got through the eighth grade, but he read just voraciously, and my library is full of his books, and he really, really taught himself well the things of God and a lot of literature. And, you know, he was just this country preacher, but man, he was just so stinking wise and funny. He laughed until the day he died, pretty much. He just giggled all the way to the end. He was an amazing man.
Have you always appreciated your dad in this way, Gary?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we were always very close.
Cool.
You know, I mean, but at the same time, you never get as close as you do in that situation.
Right.
It just, you know, it kind of demands its own definition of closeness. But yeah, our family was always very tight.
You know, this show is about faith, Gary, and specifically your faith and how you live out your belief in God. How did you come to belief in Jesus Christ?
I walked the aisle in my dad's church when I was 7 years old. I don't know what I had done to elicit guilt. I hadn't held up a bank or anything, but he just you know, he gave the message of salvation, and I just knew that I needed Jesus. That was it. And so at 7 years old, I gave my life to Christ. Now, that has been, well, this year will be probably 57. So, you know, I've been 50 years at this. And, you know, you accepting Jesus is exactly that. You accept him. Coming to know him and to walk with him and to trust him and to really, really with all your heart love him. That's not something that happens walking down an aisle. So, it's been an interesting path for me. Really, really good road.
Have you ever had a time where you genuinely doubted your faith or even the existence of God?
No, I actually haven't. I was too busy being stupid. I knew he knew about it. I never did question his existence. No.
Maybe ignoring him, but never questioning his existence.
There you go. Well yeah. Said. That's exactly what I did. And even at that, I was not successful. He was always in my face. I grew up preacher's kid, and my family was really, really good. My mom and dad were really good about trying to protect us from the inevitable repression that comes with being a PK. But there's no avoiding it, especially in a small town. You know, everybody's watching you. Every time you screw up, everybody knows about it. So I, early on in life, developed an extremely well-honed skill of hiding. And so I could do anything I wanted to do. I just never got caught because I was really smart. And I don't say that again with any pride. I just was smart. I was cunning. And as soon as I left home, you know, I had tried really hard to shelter my parents from the stuff that I was doing, just drinking. And, you know, I think we started smoking pot when I was senior in high school. It was a little bitty town in Texas. Trust me, pot wasn't there until then, or I would have known about it. But my brother is 6 years older than I am, and he lives, you know, here in town with me now. He and my sister moved here followed me from Texas years ago. And, you know, my brother was not good at hiking. He was just rowdy as hell. He was just rough. You know, he should have been in prison. And I saw how that hurt my parents. And so I pointedly decided to hide and to be sneaky. And then when I left home, I went to Bible college. It was the only college my parents would pay for. And that was the rowdiest time in my life.
Really?
You know, there were 1,200 kids there. All of them were preacher's kids who had lived their lives in degrees of repression, and or missionaries' kids, which were worse. And it was just nuts, man. It was the craziest time in my life. I don't know who thought it was a good idea to put all those repressed kids together for the first time when they ever left home, but it was crazy. And I carried that duplicity into my young adult life. And, you know, I always had two lives working. I had one church life, which to this day I will swear to you was genuine. I never stopped loving Jesus. I didn't. I was just struggling with my own stupidity. And at the same time that I had this life that I knew that God existed and that I was his and that heaven was legit and that we were all here for a purpose, and I was doing God's work. My goodness, I'm writing hit songs that are at the top of the Christian charts. It's not like I'm blowing it off, but at the same time, I had a completely separate life that was based on partying and having, you know, I didn't do as much cocaine as has been reported, but I certainly had it.
Right.
You know, I was that guy. I was the walking party.
Let's talk about that point in your life, Gary, if we could. There was a point in your life where it just frankly all came to a head. marijuana, cocaine, a broken marriage. Do you mind sharing a little bit about this part of your life and how you came out of it? And
everybody always bunches cocaine and drugs and divorce together for me, marital problems, as they say. That's a mistake. September 2nd, feel free to write this down. Lord knows I did. September 2nd, 1986, I stopped doing cocaine. I have not taken, ingested, purchased, literally before God, I have not seen cocaine since September 2nd, 1986. That was the day we came home from a long tour, and I learned some things that told me that my marriage was about to be over if I didn't do my part on my side to get rid of any obstacles to having a successful marriage. That was not all that was going on, but that was my part. And I owned up, and I took it on the chin because everybody knew we were having a rocky relationship, as they always used to say. And I knew that it would be better for me to take the fall 100% than for anything else to happen. So I did. And I don't regret it. I don't. But I have not done cocaine, haven't, like I said, seen cocaine since then. I'm sneaking up on, good grief, what is that? I'm sneaking up on the next presidential election, 30 years.
Wow.
So that has nothing to do, absolutely zero to do with my divorce from the mother of my children. Nothing. That was a completely separate issue based on her choices. And she chose to be with the man who she currently resides with. And that's what happened, and that's all good. Life goes on. Forgiveness flows. I am happy. There is not one shred of me that would want to go anywhere else other than where I am right now. Trust me. If you haven't met my wife, you should. And you'll understand I don't want to go anywhere. But you can't really bunch all that stuff together in a timeline because it doesn't work that way. That's not what happened. There's one other song on the project that is especially dear to me in light of what we were talking about with all my struggles and stupidities and the result of, you know, everybody suffers through their own choices, and everybody suffers through the choices of others. That's just the way life works. And, you know, you can sit around and whine about it and poor me, I never get a break, yada, yada, whatever. Or you can just realize that that is the truth, and that doesn't change the larger truth, which is that at the middle of all of it, in the good times and the bad, the bottom and the top, Jesus is walking with you, and you're going to be fine. Just trust him. This life is so stinking short. And at the end of it, this loving, amazing Savior is waiting and smiling with his arms wide open. So lighten up. It's going to be okay. Despite that, you still struggle. And in the struggle, you learn things. Well, I wrote a song with a buddy of mine, Aaron Barker, who's written like I don't know how many number one George Strait songs. He's a legend songwriting wise, and he's been a dear friend and mentor of mine for many years. And I started writing this thing, and I think I probably had the first verse chorus of it written, and. I just knew that his wisdom would lend itself well. So it's a song called Everything I Know. Okay. The bad news is I was able to put everything I know into about 3.5 minutes. But the good news is I worked really hard on it, and I think I actually got most of it in there. I have a 27-year-old son, Matt. And he is, he's my firstborn. He's my only son. And we're very, very close. I was with him for 3 hours today. I love him with all my heart. And he's brilliant, and he's loving, and he's just a, he's an amazing kid. He hates the limelight, and he doesn't even want his face on stinking Facebook. He's just, he's like, no, I like being private, and I like being known by my friends, and that's it. So, and I respect that. I think that's awesome. But he did, what it suffice to say is he is a tough crowd. I mean, this guy is hard to impress. You know, he traveled the world, literally, growing up. He learned to walk on a tour bus. He, you know, he grew up flying with me, helicopters, airplanes. We rode motorcycles together. We four-wheel. We hunt. We fish. We do all these things. I'm just trying to say he has a really, really well-rounded life, mm-hmm. and he's hard to impress. And we were driving back from a meeting with him and, honestly, his patent attorney. He has come up with an amazing device that I can't tell you about, but you'll hear about it sometime this year, I would suspect. But we were driving back from a meeting, and I knew I had a captive audience. So I said, okay, here's the deal. You know, I've put out a new project. I have a song in there called Everything I Know, and you're my son, so I have to play it for you. Just listen. Give me 3.5 minutes and listen to this song. Listen to the words in this. This is what I want to say to you. And sorry, that was my phone trying to wind down. I'll just start at that point. So just listen. This is what I want to say with you. If I am not on the planet tomorrow, listen to this song. Here's what I'm trying to say. And I played it for him, and he got to the end of it, and he was like, okay, that's amazing. That's absolutely, in my mind, the best song you've ever written, and I thank you. I will refer back to this song for the rest of my life. And I was like, okay, well, good grief. Now, that's what I wanted to do right there.
Wow.
So I'm really proud of that particular team.
Gary, let's do a round of instant insight into Gary Chapman. This is where
quick answers,
yeah,
rapid
yeah.
fire stuff.
This
I
is,
loved it.
This is where I'm going to ask you quick questions, and you'll respond with answers that'll frankly make us feel like your best friend when we're done. Fair enough?
Love it. Love
All right.
Go.
What single person, and Gary, you're not allowed to say Jesus, had the biggest impact in your life?
My father, without question.
My wife, Cassie, makes me
happy. She just makes me happy. She is an amazing person. She's she's a 2-time national champion cheerleader. So she carries that mentality into life, and it's awesome. It's she can get down just like everybody else. I mean, she's human, but she has an incredible resiliency. She's very, very tough mentally and very, very tough physically. She's a beast. And she makes me want to live to be 100. There's a giant difference in our ages. We're 23 years apart, which seems like a lot until you spend about 10 minutes with us. And the reality is she's an old soul and I'm 12, you know? So we actually kind of fit really, really well together.
She's more like babysitting, isn't she?
Yeah. The saddest part of my life will, as far as leaving, like I'm going to want to see Jesus, but I'm going to want to stay with her.
Sure.
Because she's just awesome. She's an amazing woman.
The most exciting thing I ever did was?
Oh, wow. Dude, I don't know. That's a long stinking list. I've taken ADD and finding the next bright shiny object in life to an art form. I flew with the Blue Angels years ago. That's hard to top on a physical sensation level. But the birth of children is easily the top of the emotional.
Sure.
Rainbow. Man, that's tough. That's a hard question, bud. That's really difficult.
Well, I think flying with the Blue Angels and the birth of your children are good enough. God is?
Everything.
If I were not a musician, I would be?
Race car driver.
Aaron Barker really needs to?
Cut his hair. It's down to his waist. He had a heart attack a few years ago. And just in the process of the hospitalization thing and everything, he wound up, cutting his hair. And I was like, dude, for one, you look like 40 instead of 90, and just leave it. Just leave it. No, he couldn't do it. he has really long hair, and he refuses to cut it.
My next big career move is?
That's tough. That's a tough one. I've got so many things I'm doing right now. Honestly, I think my next big career move is twofold. It'll have to involve music because I can't seem to shake that, and television. I've got my wife and I are on a new series on TNT that premieres February 24. It's mostly her, but I'm in there. And then we have been offered another television show that's really, really exciting, that highlights the good in people, and I'm excited to do that. I think that's my next thing.
In the past year, I paid way too much for
electricity.
I'm afraid of.
Oh, I got it. I'm afraid of losing my child or my wife. I'm afraid of that.
What single Bible passage has the most meaning to you?
It's very hard to get past John 3:16. I mean, I mean, cliche, but man, that's the fulcrum point of the book.
Here you are, Gary Chapman, Grammy nominee, multiple Dove Award winner, certainly a life of peaks and valleys. Mm-hmm. What does success mean to Gary Chapman today?
Sleeping well.
Finally, Gary, what would you say to someone that is right on faith's edge, making that choice to believe or not to believe in God?
Snap out of it. Jump.
I don't think we can say anything more than that, brother. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today, man. I really appreciate it. I can't wait to hear more of this new album, The Truth, and some of the other stuff you're doing, man. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Joe. Let's do it again soon.
Have a great night. God bless. Every wrong turn I told you, didn't I? Gary Chapman has something to say, doesn't he? I loved what he said. I don't see any upside to being anything but totally honest. His frankness is remarkable. Thank you, Gary, so much for hanging out with us today. Gary's website is www.garychapmanmusic.com. That's garychapmanmusic.com. The links to his new CD, The Truth, along with his other projects, as well as his Twitter and Facebook links, can be found in our show notes at onfaithsedge.com/19. That's onfaithsedge.com/19. Also, you can see Gary and his wife, Casey, on TNT's Private Lives of Nashville Wives. I don't know when that's what day it's on or time, but just look it up. TNT's Private Lives of Nashville Wives. Thank you so much for listening today. I really appreciate you being here. You mean a lot to me personally and a lot to this show. If you have questions about faith, the Bible, or God, or you just want to leave comments about the show, I would love to hear from you. You can email me, joe@onfaithsedge.com. Go to onfaithsedge.com/comments, or you can call the listener line, 888-851-8475. If you like the show, would you be kind enough to leave an honest rating and comment on iTunes? iTunes is by far the biggest portal to shows like this one. It really helps the show's exposure and gets the word out about our show, On Faith's Edge. The iTunes link to the show is onfaithsedge.com/iTunes. Again, that's onfaithsedge.com/iTunes. Let's end the show hearing out the song you hear in the background right now, and Gary talked about it in the show. It's called Everything I Know, and it is an absolutely beautiful, beautiful song. Remember, God is real, and eternity is now. Let's go out and live like it. God bless. And turn right around and do the same again.
But the good Lord stood beside me. Never once did he forget. He loves me so. He's used every stupid thing so far to teach me nearly everything I know. To always leave the door of my heart open, in spite of what I know might blow inside. When there is no way out, to just keep hoping, and to keep on never knowing. I've tried, I've learned more from my mistakes than I ever did from doing something.